You know, the end of the growing season, always kind of a little bit sad, sad time. It can be hard to get too excited about fall garden cleanup. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. But even in October, there are plenty of fun things to do in the garden. And we have a fun person with us today, Sharon Morrissey, the UW Extension Consumer Horticulture Agent for Milwaukee County. And she's with us to tell us all about those fun things. Sharon, welcome back. It's been a while.
Well, it has been a while, but thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Oh, I'm really glad to have you back. And, you know, as we get ready for cold weather, you know, hard to imagine that our garden plants can still keep going, but there are actually some that do better after it gets a bit chilly, and maybe you could talk about some of those.
Well, definitely, in the vegetable garden particularly, and with people so interested in growing their own vegetables at home and buying local produce from farmers markets, it is those coal crops, not cold crops, but coal crops, that do so well in this cool weather. Things like kale and Brussels sprouts, cabbage, kohlrabi, all of those things, broccoli, all actually taste better once they've been hit by a frost. Now, on southeastern Wisconsin, where I am, we haven't really had a good hard frost yet. We had a very light frost last Sunday night, but even still, these cool day temperatures have been very good for those crops. You can keep a lot of those going all the way until solid freezes and keep harvesting. Yep. And then there are some crops that you can mulch in by putting a good thick layer of straw mulch, say, over your carrots or beets or turnips or rutabagas if you're growing those, and keep those until the ground has frozen solid. And that will kind of delay that process of the ground freezing solid. So you can go out there and harvest a few carrots for your Thanksgiving dinner. Or maybe even for Christmas, depending on what we have coming up weather-wise.
I'm telling you, there is nothing better than a carrot from that. When you get that carrot from the almost frozen, so you have to almost use a pickaxe to get it out.
Yes.
And it is good.
They are so tasty at that point.
Oh,
right?
Man, they're
so
great.
That late planting in the garden in, say, mid-July to end of August about, there are lots of crops that you can plant again, and some of those things are the ones that will carry forward, and you can really enjoy them at a different time of year than you're used to.
And so you can just keep going. You know, some people say, well, how do I know when it's, you know, in this cold weather and the frost, how do we know when it's time to harvest, you know, to quit or...
Yeah, well, the things that are very tender, it's time to get them in. We're going to be getting some really cool temperatures down in this, with probably a freeze down in this part of the neck of the woods next week. And with tomatoes and peppers that are very tender, eggplants, with the cool days, you're really not gaining very much. Even if you do cover them and protect them from those frosts, the days don't warm up enough for them to gain much in the line of ripeness. So you might as well harvest them. You can put green tomatoes into storage because they will, if they're a mature size, they will continue to ripen in storage. You can also make fried green tomatoes. And I talked to somebody the other day who makes green tomato relish.
Yeah, and green tomato jam.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that sounds good.
It is. I can tell you that for sure.
Firsthand, you know that.
Lots of firsthand experience with Dorothy Rodefeld's green tomato jam. I can tell you that right now. It's wonderful.
Those are things that definitely have to come out of the garden because it's going to get too cold for them.
You know, there's a lot of it. Just onto another topic for a minute before we go to Barb, who's been waiting here. A lot of people do container gardening, and we have some, you know, I always have a few containers with things in them. And I know people ask about reusing the soil the next year. I typically don't. I can go into the kind of in the compost pile, add a little there or somewhere else. But do you reuse the soil?
Well, you know, the official word is that you should not reuse that soil from year to year. The potential for carryover of diseases is pretty great with containers, but that's if you've had diseased plant material in the container. The soil also gets kind of worn out. The organic matter that's in the soil has started to break down. Depending on how good you've been about watering and leaching out any of the soluble salts that form, those could build up in the soil. The ideal situation is to replace all that soil. But in large containers with lots of soil, it's an investment, and a lot of people are very reluctant to just get rid of that soil. If you choose to, or if it's been several years you've been using your soil, putting it into a compost pile is a great way to go. Another good way to do it is to put it into your garden beds and work it in with the rest of your soil. It probably has some perlite in it that provides for good air circulation and drainage in your soil, so it's kind of adding some of that to your garden beds. But otherwise, you could refresh part of it. You could mix part of it with some new soil. So it sort of depends on your budget. And definitely, if there's been diseased plants in that soil, you should rotate it out.
Get rid of it. Karen Johansson, I know from Johansson's greenhouses, which I still wish they were in business, but they're not. But she is... said that using the special container garden potting mix, if you use that, you can definitely reuse that at least once.
I think so, too. Yeah.
Barb in Caledonia has a question for you.
Well, great.
Let's go there. Barb, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Sharon. This is really timely. I have some of my strawberries. Do you think it's too late?
You do what?
She has some strawberries that she wants to move. And you're in Caledonia, Minnesota. What zone are you there?
I think it's three or four.
Okay.
Yeah, it probably is too late. And actually, if you're moving strawberries, strawberries don't last all that long as a plant. They kind of wear out, and our specialists recommend after about 4 or 5 years for June-bearing strawberries, just get new plants. And don't try and move them to a new bed and let those plants continue to bear, because they won't produce as well for you. Ever-bearing strawberries, probably 1 to 2 years to get, if you get a good crop off of them for those 2 years, you've probably done pretty well. So if you think about moving strawberries that have been producing for a few years, you probably would do better at this point to just wait until spring, purchase some new plants, good disease-free, vigorous new plants, and start a new planting of strawberries.
Yeah, you're probably going to be a lot happier.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, thanks, Barb. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking today with Sharon Morrissey, the UW Extension Consumer Horticulture Agent for Milwaukee County. Great to have her with us. We had a Facebook question from Becca. Says, I purchased a hanging pansy in May. Thought it was done, but it's now coming back from the roots. I don't suppose I could bring it in the house for the winter, could I? Would it grow or bloom or do okay inside?
You know, that's probably, you know, although they tolerate some shade, you know, you may have success for a little while and you may want to bring it in, enjoy it for as long as you can. It probably, even though it's a shade lover, needs more light than you can provide for it in the house. And indoors, we also have extremely dry air conditions. And so they, you know, most plants do like a little bit more humidity. So I guess at this point, bring it inside before it freezes. Even with some frost, they'll tolerate that. But then just enjoy them as long as they grow. And once it starts to really fade, it may be time to let it have a new life in your compost pile.
That's a very good way to put it, Sharon. I like your thinking there. I like your thinking.
Reduce, reuse, recycle at all times.
Yeah, and what a wonderful place to have it. And you know, bringing that in though, insect infestation. Any concerns about that?
Well, that's a good question, and a lot of people are concerned about bringing insects in when they bring their houseplants in that have been vacationing out in the garden. Generally, it's not too big a problem, because the insects that are going to be on the plant outside by now are pretty much done. Anything that you bring in will probably be one of those, what do they call them? Pill bugs, sow bugs, millipedes, those kind of things that can't continue their life cycle in your family room. They're a nuisance when they crawl out of the pots, and when they do kill them.
There you go.
It's not really an infestation in that they won't multiply in your home. But if you are concerned about anything in the container soil, change the soil before you bring it in. And you can wash off the foliage of the plant before you bring it in. Good blast of water to blast off any insects on there. You may want to treat with insecticidal soap if you know that you have an infestation of something like white fly or one of the other aphids or something that's one of the soft-bodied insects. But otherwise, not too much of a concern.
Okay. Sharon Morrissey, our guest. Great to have her along today. She was talking about multiplying, and one of the great gardeners that I know, Judith Sears Poisson, joins us, and we're interested in doing a little multiplication too, aren't we?
We are.
We are in our fall membership drive. Your support is the foundation of our budget, is what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs, and we'll be talking with Sharon again in a minute or two. But first, Judith is with me to help make the case for you to go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now to make your gift in support of the programs you count on.
And last hour, we heard from 54 new and returning members. Thank you so much for those pledges. Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,500. This extremely generous match is from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. It's their way of encouraging you to support them, to join them in supporting us at WPR. Get your pledge doubled right now. It's a great opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The Ideas Network with you all day long, whether you ride to work with us, maybe you run errands with us or cook dinner with us. You get some interesting talks whenever you want them. We're always here, and you make that possible with your donations. Wisconsin Public Radio would not be what it is without your support. So go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And Larry, you were just saying that, you know, WPR keeps people company. Kathleen from Greenville says, I listen at work all day and WPR keeps me going on my 10-hour shift. That's a whole lot of WPR. Thank you for that, Kathleen. Thank you for your pledge. We know you give to WPR to support those programs that you enjoy. But as an added incentive, we have something special right now. It's Melinda Meyer's Minnesota and Wisconsin Getting Started Garden Guide. It's a brand new book, and it's yours when you give $150 or more. That's $12.50 a month. Ask for it now when you make your pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you've only discovered Wisconsin Public Radio recently. We want you to know that WPR is listener-driven. It's not profit-driven. We're able to bring you more programs per hour because we don't have to take time off for long blocks of commercials.
Our business is to inform and entertain you and provide quality programs for you to enjoy. WPR is your station, and it's only possible because listeners like you give what they can to support it. So show your support right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,500 in effect right now, so it's a great time to pledge because, you know, every dollar you give, Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association folks are donating an additional dollar. So it's their way of encouraging you to support WPR. Double the impact of your pledge right now by giving at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Thank you so much, Bruce, for pledging. I hope you, as you listen in now, will join Bruce and pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears Poisson asking for your support of WPR during our fall membership drive. And maybe your gift is $10, or maybe it's $12.50, or maybe it's $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Thank you for spending time with Wisconsin Public Radio today with Larry, with Sharon Morrissey, talking about gardening. Whether you found us by scanning the dial or maybe a friend recommended the great music, high-quality news, weekend programs, you're still tuned in because you like what you hear.
And because you like what you hear, we're asking you to help pay for this listener-supported public radio service. You choose the amount. Maybe it's $5 a month. That's a great starting point. Or whatever's comfortable for you, become our next new member at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you may not know this. Listeners provide the single biggest piece of our budget here at WPR. Make your pledge of $5 or $10 a month or any amount that's comfortable for you, and you'll be doing your part to keep this station strong. You can do that right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect here, so give right now at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR goes twice as far.
You know, people might be wondering why the Wisconsin Master Gardener Association specifically would offer a challenge grant. Well, people may not know that listening to Garden Talk counts as continuing education credits for Master Gardeners.
Yep.
The Master Gardener Association feels so strongly that the information shared on Garden Talk is so useful that they give continuing education credits. So we appreciate their support, and we appreciate your pledge of any amount. You can ask for Melinda Meyer's Minnesota and Wisconsin Getting Started Garden Guide as your thank you gift when you give $150 or more. That's $12.50 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Julianne from Pewaukee, she says I appreciate the garden tips and all the programs on Wisconsin Public Radio. And she says, keep up the green work. I like that.
We will.
Thank you, Julianne. And thank you if you've already donated. If you haven't pledged yet, this is the time to do it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Thank you very much. If you've already pledged, if you haven't, do it right now. And then listen in as we talk with Sharon Morrissey. Sharon, a UW Extension Consumer Horticulture Agent for Milwaukee County, is doing a wonderful job in Milwaukee County and doing a wonderful job on the air today with us answering your questions. You may have a garden question. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. Certainly, we would love to hear from you. Composting, Sharon, it's a great way to get rid of, not really get rid of organic matter, let's say use organic matter. Are there items from fall cleanup that should not go into the compost?
Yes, there are. And in general, there are a few things that shouldn't go into the compost pile. But in the fall, when people are cleaning up, they're anxious to just clear everything out and get rid of it somewhere. And putting it into the compost pile is logical. But what we look for are any plants that have been diseased, particularly. Insect infestations aren't quite as much of a problem when you talk about composting, but any diseases. So if you know that your vine crops have had powdery mildew, probably not a good idea to put those in the compost bin. If you've had black spot on your roses, probably shouldn't go into the compost bin. That black spot that people are seeing on maple leaves this year, in the Milwaukee area, every single Norway maple in town has what's called tar spot.
Oh.
Black spots on the leaves. This is, I think, our third or fourth year. Ironically, those, and I guess fortunately, you can put into the compost pile. You should rake them out from underneath the trees so they're not as close to the tree to provide spores for next year. But our plant pathologists tell us that you can put those into your compost pile. So I'm sure that's reassuring to a lot of people who are trying to deal with those leaves this fall.
Absolutely. And give our listeners a chance to join in. You can call us if you have a question or comment for our guest today, Sharon Morrissey, on this edition of Garden Talk. The number to phone is 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. You can post a question or a comment there. Sharon, I got to tell you, I was looking at our lime tree, and Limey has lots of limes on it right now.
Wow.
And it's flowering like crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
Should it be doing that?
Or out?
Huh?
Is it inside or out?
Well, it's inside now. We took it. It was outside all summer. So we had some good limes off it. Now it's got a few more and a lot of blossoms.
Well, you have a name for this tree, and therefore I'm assuming that you've had it around a while. Is that true?
Yeah, it's been more than a year, anyway.
Okay. Well, so you've gone through one cycle with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tropical plant, and I'm sure there's a season for bearing fruit for tropical plants. And it's already borne most of its fruit. But a lot of plants do what's called precocious flowering, and that means that it flowers at times outside of its normal cycle. So that may be what's going on. I'm assuming that when you get it inside and it has nice warm conditions again, it may actually start to produce fruit from those blossoms that are coming on right now. So you may have some that are getting pretty ripe and others that are just starting to develop.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the way Limey looks today.
So it's a happy plant. What you're doing is right for it. You know, speaking of the Wisconsin Master Gardener Association and the dollar-for-dollar match that they're giving, we do have a large Master Gardener group in southeastern Wisconsin with the Milwaukee and Waukesha County Master Gardeners. The Southeast Wisconsin Master Gardener group is one that I am one of the directors for, and we have about 450 members of the Wisconsin Association in our group. And they're a very, very active group. So I want to give a shout-out to those Master Gardener volunteers. I'm just always marvel at the dedication and devotion, that willingness to share their information, share their knowledge, their time, their talents. And I feel like I'm the luckiest girl in the world. People.
They are wonderful people. It's so much fun to meet them in person. I get to go to Bayfield every spring. We broadcast from up there, and a bunch of the Master Gardeners from that area. I always get a chance to talk to them. They're wonderful people. The people who, when we're in, certainly in Milwaukee area, there are, as you say, there are some great folks there that I have had a chance to meet through some special events. They're just wonderful people.
They are, you know, and I think in general, gardeners are pretty special people. I think when you have a connection with the earth and you care to nurture plants and you know, wildlife, and you have that connection, I think that makes you a pretty good, well-rounded person. But the volunteers all have their different expertise areas.
Yeah.
Some can talk about composting, talk your ear off on composting. And others will talk your ear off on daylilies. And others are into native plants. And so this whole pool of knowledge that this group of people have keeps it so that everybody is learning from every aspect of the program all the time.
Yeah. Maria in Milwaukee has a question for you. So let's go to her. Thanks a lot for calling. Maria, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Thank you for taking me. I have a question for Sharon, please. I was late in planting some fill-ins. I have a Shasta daisy and a boxwood, and I would like to know whether this would be too late now to put in yet for proper rooting for the winter.
Oh, no, those would be fine to do now because those are both perennials. They're both hardy. And, you know, the advantage of planting in the fall is that the soil is still pretty warm because it's so heavily insulated and the air temperatures are cool. And therefore, that warm soil temperature encourages root growth. And the cool air temperatures kind of encourage that as well. And the plants aren't losing as much moisture as they would be during hotter periods of the year. So fall is a great time to plant and get things started rooting. They probably will do some root growth still this fall. Then, once the ground has frozen completely, I would recommend putting on a couple of inches of shredded bark or wood chips or something that you may use for a permanent mulch, but mulching it in a little heavier than you normally would so that you have a little more insulation around those roots, particularly because in planting you have disturbed the soil, and that disturbed soil will take in moisture, and then as that water freezes and thaws, it can push those plants up out of the ground and kind of damage some of those roots. So you have to wait until the soil has frozen, but by insulating it, you'll kind of prevent as much of that freezing and thawing of the soil that heaves them out of the ground and damages the roots. So that's only true really for the first year after transplant. And it kind of goes for all perennials, particularly like the Shasta daisy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the boxwood is a woody plant that should have some mulch over its roots all the time anyway.
There you go. Thanks, Maria, for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Aaron in Two Rivers. Hi. How
Hello.
Are you?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. What's on your mind?
I am wondering, I'm a newer gardener. I did a pretty big vegetable garden this past summer, and I had a really big problem with powdery mildew on my zucchini and my summer squash plants. And I'm wondering what I can do next year to prevent that.
Well, it is a challenge every year with powdery mildew on all of the squash plants. All of them are susceptible to it, and it's kind of something that's just there all the time, threatening to infect your plants. Prevention is kind of impossible, but to reduce the amount of powdery mildew and to reduce its development, having good air circulation around the leaves of the plants, therefore not planting them too close together. And if the plants are very, very thick, have lots and lots of foliage on them, maybe thinning out some of that so you get good air circulation, because you want those leaves to dry quickly when they do get wet.
Sure.
The other thing you can do is to mulch the area around it and have it on a bed of mulch. That helps to prevent splashing of spores back onto the plants. Also, powdery mildew is worse in periods of high humidity and warm temperatures. If it's not very humid, like it wasn't for very long early in the season this year, powdery mildew won't develop. Likewise, if the leaves are kept very wet, you know, by rain, constant rain, that powdery mildew won't be as severe. It doesn't mean that we recommend watering plants frequently to keep the leaves wet to prevent powdery mildew. Dry leaves are much less resistant, so that's the goal. But there are also pesticides that can be used. There are some that are organic, and there are some that are not. And we do have a fact sheet through the UW Extension that explains all of this and also gives the names of these products. You can find that information on our Hort Team website, the UW Extension Horticulture Team website. I'll give that web address. It's simply hort.uwex.edu. And in the search box, type in powdery mildew. One of the recommendations there is to use a combination of baking soda and water and an oil. The oil should be an oil that is a superfine oil that has been developed for use on plants. And I'm looking that up right now to give you the actual proportion of what it is you use for that. But it is a relatively good way to prevent it. It just has to be sprayed very regularly and kind of continually, because by the time you are seeing the powdery mildew, the infection has been there for some time.
A long time.
You have to keep on top of it.
Yep. Aaron, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking today with Sharon Morrissey, UW Extension Consumer Horticulture Agent for Milwaukee County. Great to have her along, and great to see the smiling face of Judith Sears-Poisson, who joins us with she's got her hands full of carrots and rutabagas right now. She brought them in to share with
me. Could
be
lunch or self-protection, one of the two.
We are here because she's here because we're asking for your help during the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. She's here to help you, to let you know how important your support is. Your gift makes a huge difference. It's what powers WPR. Step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know why we have such a good time during Pledge, Larry, is it's the only time we get to talk to each other on the air. Usually
right.
It's you or me. It's a rare twofer. Well, speaking of rare twofers, we were very thankful to the Wisconsin Master Gardener Association for their generous match that we had earlier this hour, and we made it. Thank you so much to everyone who helped us take advantage of that generous gift from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. We are still looking for 51 more pledges to meet our hour's goal. Be the next person to help us along with your gift. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We've been talking about the fact that the Master Gardeners can actually get continuing education credits for listening to Garden Talk. And I think that just goes to show what a valuable resource Garden Talk is to listeners. You can enjoy Garden Talk whether you're an expert or a novice.
And we have some of the best gardening resource people in our state right here to answer your questions. People like Sharon Morrissey, whether it's about fruit trees, organic gardening, rose bushes. Coming up, we have tulip bulbs, and we talk about rutabagas. And, you know, apply some fertilizer to the program right now by making your pledge of support. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge we appreciate, and certainly every pledge helps pay for the programs you love on WPR. And I hope when you make your contribution, if you can contribute $150 or more, $150, that's $12.50 a month, we'll send you a copy of Melinda Meyer's new book. It's called Minnesota and Wisconsin Getting Started Garden Guide. That's your thank you gift when you give $150 or more.
And you can do that at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Because you have a strong sense of what it means to be a Wisconsinite, chances are that Wisconsin Public Radio plays an important role in that sense of identity. We really do serve the entire state.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get news, the voices, music, sounds from the stage, around the state, over time, all these broadcasts add up to a strong sense of connection to the state we all call home.
Wisconsin Public Radio, it's really a home we all share, and it's funded in large part by our listeners, by you. So please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you pay your bills online. We pay some of ours online. Can't pay them all, but we do pay some of them. And I bet you don't miss all that extra paper and envelopes floating around the house, not to mention what you save on postage and checks.
So think about supporting WPR in that same streamlined way by becoming a sustainer. You choose a monthly amount that works for you, say $10 or $20 a month, and you set it up to come out of your bank account or from your credit card. It'll roll over each year, so your support of WPR will always stay current. It's easy to do. It's convenient. Do it now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There have been a number of programs and issues that have been discussed that's changed my mind, and I think that's one of the highlights of Wisconsin Public Radio, to get different perspectives. There's a continuum on every issue. I am someplace on that continuum. I'm Dean Gagnon, a Wisconsin Public Radio Association board member. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for information on a daily basis.
Please go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support during our fall membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears Poisson asking for your support. Thanks in advance for your gift. Maybe it was $10 or $15 a month. Whatever the amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
Your gift right now is a powerful gesture. It means you're willing to stand up and be counted, counted as the next member in our WPR community. I just have this mental image of all these little rakes and hoes and shovels in the air with all these gardeners saying, count me, count me. New members are so important. Without you, we wouldn't be able to increase and improve our services as we do every year.
And we have 10 new members right Ooh. Now who have joined during the program. You care enough to listen. Please care enough to support your source for meaningful radio, Make your gift at $5 a month or $10 a month or whatever the amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Think of your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio as an investment in your future listening. Give us just a few minutes of your time and your donation in any amount, and in return, we promise you'll get lots of great programs.
Donate at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And in just a few minutes, you'll have made a wise investment, and it'll pay dividends every day.
Just like what we do in the garden, right?
Absolutely.
We invest in the spring and hope for good dividends in the fall. Well, we are still looking for 51 more pledges by the end of the hour. Your gift right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552, supports the programs like Garden Talk that you count on.
And be sure to ask for Melinda Meyer's Minnesota and Wisconsin Getting Started Garden Guide, her new book, with your pledge of $150 or more, $12.50 a month. Pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
James from Saukville said, I realized that all of my car radio buttons are tuned to WPR. Well, James, thank you so much for your support. We're glad we can keep you company in the car. Keep us company with a donation right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yes, thanks very much. If you've contributed, thank you. And if you haven't, please do it right now. And let's talk to Sharon Morrissey again. Sharon, UW Extension Consumer Horticulture Agent for Milwaukee County. She does a marvelous job and doing a great job today answering your questions. I want to go to Pat in Oconomowoc, who's been waiting a bit. Pat, thanks for waiting.
Not a problem. I'm starting a new flower bed this week, in the next coming week, and I'm putting topsoil on it because I don't use the old dirt because it's full of weeds. And I'm wondering, after I put my tulips and I'm putting some reblooming daylilies in the same bed, if I should fertilize now or in the spring.
Hmm.
Well, with tulips, we generally recommend, if you're going to fertilize them in the fall when you plant them, to use something that's higher in phosphorus. And that's the middle number in the three numbers that are on the fertilizer product. But we also recommend, when you're transplanting plants in general, putting a fertilizer with higher phosphorus is a good idea for them as well. Because what you want to do is encourage rooting. And that's what both of those things will be doing as soon as you put them in this fall. So you don't need to fertilize either one of them at this time because they will be forming some good roots anyway. Much of the soil in Wisconsin has plenty of phosphorus in it, but you can fertilize with a starter fertilizer that is one that's higher in phosphorus, that could give you a bit of an advantage with both of those plants.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Thank you very much, Pat. Pat in East Troy, your turn. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I'm the original black thumb plant grower.
Okay.
I'm the opposite of all these wonderful people you're talking about and master gardeners. I have a rutabaga that I bought at the grocery store and ate most of it, but the top of it was sprouting little green leaves, and I cut it off and cut them all into pie-shaped wedges. And I would love to grow my own rutabagas, but this is the wrong time of year. I did it once in spring, and it worked. I got a rutabagas out of it.
Oh, my.
What do I do now?
Well, that is tough because it is a wrong time of year for rutabaga, and I know you can't grow rutabagas in containers inside. That would be, you'd be quite a gardener if you were doing that.
I guess.
Even those with very, very green thumbs probably can't do that. So at this time of year, probably not much you can do. It is kind of fun to root them in some medium, a growing medium, probably a mixture of perlite and vermiculite, just to kind of get them growing and watch them grow and have something green and living, but you're probably not going to end up with anything indoors. in the spring to do it would probably work. As you say, you've done that before. Generally, rutabagas are planted from seed, and they can be planted very easily directly into the garden in the spring. In our area, it's like the third week of April. In the Madison area, it's probably more like the first week of April. So you're in between, probably the second week of April. You could be planting rutabaga seeds along with about 10 or 12 other crops directly from seed right into your garden. So I would plan for that for next year, and if you're doing it with your little planting wedges, your little wedges that have leaves on them, probably about the same timing, but I'd make sure that you kind of harden them off first so they're used to the cold temperatures before you just put them out there and leave them.
Mm-hmm. Makes good sense. Talking with Sharon Morrissey, Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening in on the Ideas Net. Marianne from Windsor has a question for Sharon Morrissey, so let's go to her. Marianne, thank you for calling.
Hi. I think it's me. But
yeah, yes, it is you. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, back to rutabagas. I planted some this spring, and they came up beautifully. They got really big. And I tried a couple of them to see what they were tasting like, and they're just not sweet. They're just really kind of ugly.
Oh.
And will they get sweeter? Will they get sweeter if I leave them in the ground for, through some frost?
Yeah, and they probably do better when they're planted midsummer, and then they mature in the cool temperatures of the fall. You can grow them earlier in the season. If it gets really hot, that heat will probably give them a little bit of an off flavor. They're not as good when they're grown in the spring as they are in the fall. They are a member of that cole crop family, the Cucurbitaceae, and so they do appreciate the cool temperatures when they're maturing.
Yeah, I really like rutabagas when they're.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, they're wonderful. Marianne, thank you for calling. Lou Ray in Rosendale, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi there. I have two questions. One is, when is the best time to transplant small trees that are 2 to 3 feet tall? And also, with strawberries, how deep should they be mulched?
Well, good questions. The small trees, this is a great time to transplant them. I think I mentioned before that the soil temperatures are warm, and so that encourages root growth. The cool air temperatures make sure that the roots are what's going to grow and you don't get much top growth. So this is a great time to transplant deciduous plants particularly. So right now would be fine for that. As far as strawberries, how much mulch to put on them, if you're talking about a winter mulch, which you probably are right now, be sure to wait until that ground has frozen completely, so a couple of inches deep. And that may not be until, I'm not sure where Rosendale is, what part of the state it's in, but it may not be until late November, December.
Kind of north of Waupun a little bit.
Okay. So probably it may not be until late December, but then put that mulch on using straw and or pine boughs over it to hold the straw on. And you put it on thick and make sure it covers the plants completely. You're really trying to protect that root system, but a good thick layer is what you'll need, especially if we have a very cold winter with extremes. And then be sure to watch those plants in the spring. As temperatures warm up, you know, we always get those nice days in maybe February or March. The sun's kind of warm, and it can really warm up underneath the mulch. So just kind of keep checking down there for new growth to start from the crown of each plant. So look for that starting in late February or March.
There you go.
That's what our season's been like.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Guy in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hello. Thanks for calling.
Hello. I was encouraged to mention that even though I live in St. Paul, I contributed to Wisconsin Public Radio because we prefer your station.
Oh, thank you.
I have I have two questions. One is, I brought a tree hibiscus indoors, put it in a container, and I'm wondering if there's any tips about that. And the other is, I planted some amaryllis, and there was mold on the top of a peat medium that came with it. I sprayed some isopropyl on that mold, and I'm hoping that's going to do it.
Oh.
Well, those are both good questions, too. The tree hibiscus, bringing it indoors, yeah, I assume you've had it outdoors growing someplace. And most people tend to put them in the sun during the summer. It becomes quite a shock for them, though, when you bring them inside, even if you have a good sunny southern window, because the light levels are going to be a lot lower than they were outdoors. You may have a lot of leaf yellowing and a lot of leaf loss. There's not much you can do about that except to provide as much light as you can for the plant and just kind of keep it going over the winter. You don't need to do a lot of fertilizing with any of our indoor house plants over the winter because they're not growing much. They're not using much fertility. So they call it a dormant period. The plant's not really dormant, but because the conditions aren't great for growing, they're not growing much. Better to put it into a very shady area in the garden when you bring it outdoors, or a more shaded area. Then it's not such a shock to it when you bring it back indoors. It's better adapted to the lower light in the fall when you bring it in. As far as the amaryllis and mold on the growing medium over that or around that, that mold is actually forming because the soil is too moist and simply drying out that soil, not allowing it to stay moist for long periods of time is the best way to manage that. So kind of scraping off the mold that's there right now and then really being careful about how you water will help prevent it from developing any further. Mm-hmm. If you find that soil, when you water it, it stays wet for a very long time, it may not be the right soil. You may need to have something that has better drainage, and something with more perlite in it will have better drainage. It'll dry out a little more quickly. And overwatering really is the number one cause of death of indoor plants because it's so easy to overwater thinking you're doing the plants a favor by giving them water.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Guy, for calling. Appreciate your call very, very much. We are at about 6 minutes before the hour. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears Poisson. Joining us, she's here to help me say to you, count on WPR. You do count on WPR for great discussions. It's your gift of any amount that makes these discussions possible, so I hope you'll give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you know what? You count on us, and we count on you. We're looking for 43 more pledges in the next 8 minutes or so. Your pledge right now helps pay for the programs like Garden Talk that you count on all year long. Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We get so many good guests on WPR because they know that you will ask great questions and they won't be interrupted by commercials. Your support makes this possible. You are the most reliable part of our budget. Thanks in advance for your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, a lot of people love when Melinda Myers is on the show and, you know, they wish that they could have a hotline to Melinda whenever they have a question. Well, we have the next best thing. You can get Melinda Myers' Minnesota and Wisconsin Getting Started Garden Guide when you make a contribution of $150. That comes out to $12.50 a month. Your donation supports the programs you count on, and you can also get this nice and very helpful thank you gift. So pledge now, WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
I'm sure you've heard the phrase think big. It's an expression you can really put into practice by listening to and then giving to Wisconsin Public Radio. When you listen, you get the best music, the talk and news, and it encourages you to think big.
And when you donate to keep that high-quality music, talk, and news available to you and to your community, your gift of any amount is added to the gifts of others to make big things happen on WPR. So give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Marilyn from Madison, Wisconsin. I always thought, gee, you know, one of these days I should become a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio, I thought, hey, maybe now is the time. And it's easy because it's just the one payment and they do the rest of it automatically. I just thought it was the best way to be supportive without having to feel guilty about not calling. It is easier. And it does give you a chance to feel superior. You can think, I've already done that. So if you're a listener and you like what you're getting from Wisconsin Public Radio, why not try to be a sustainer? All you have to do is pick up the phone. You won't have to feel one bit guilty anymore for not having done it. When you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you can be proud that you are part of the team.
Make your donation right now in support of the programs you count on, especially Garden Talk, on WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. And whether your pledge is $5 or a month or $100 a month, anything above, below, in between, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Help pay for the programs you depend on. We are looking for 41 more pledges in the next 6 minutes or so. Yeah, that's a steep hill, but you can help us get up there. Make your donation now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
What does making a pledge mean? Well, a pledge is a promise. We pledge to bring you great shows every day. You pledge to support them with a contribution, any amount.
And when you help pay the costs of this station, we'll make sure there's something interesting for you to listen to all the time. That's our pledge. Now, please make yours. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We're looking for, we have 40 more pledges to go in the next 3 or 4 minutes. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 supports the programs that you count on.
Again, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And don't forget, you can ask for Melinda Meyer's Minnesota and Wisconsin Getting Started Garden Guide with your pledge of $150 or more. Comes out to $12.50 a month. The important thing, no matter what the amount, is pledge now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Laura from Evansville says, thanks for providing such quality programs. I'm proud to be a first-time donor. Look forward to many years of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio and to Garden Talk.
Great. Thank you, Laura. And some listeners from Brookfield say, as a master gardener, I really appreciate Garden Talk each week. Well, if you agree with those Brookfield listeners and Laura from Evansville, please show your support for Garden Talk right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. This is actually your last time to support Garden Talk during this pledge drive.
That's the truth of the matter. If you love Garden Talk, if you like listening to Garden Talk, this is a great time to put your vote in with a pledge of support. You can go to WPR.org or you can phone 888-202-2552. We've got a couple more minutes yet to go to reach our goal. You can help us do it right now. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And thank you.
Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. This is Garden Talk you're listening to. This edition of Garden Talk features Sharon Morrissey, UW Extension Consumer Horticulture Agent for Milwaukee County. It's great to have her with us. And great to have you listening in. Questions, give us a call at 800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. Sharon, we had a Facebook question from Lori who wonders whether to apply fertilizer to her apple trees in the fall. Is that a good idea?
No, actually, spring is the time to apply fertilizer to fruits in general. So I would hold off on that. And, of course, UW Extension does have a great publication on growing apples, and so I would check that. Also on our website for publications, learningstore.uwex.edu, under lawn and garden and then fruits, you will also find a publication on fertilizing fruits. I believe that publication is on fertilizing small fruits.
Yep.
And then the tree fruits are addressed to each in their own individual book. It's actually a book on each of the tree fruits. So I would check out that publication on growing apples in Wisconsin, and it'll tell you how much, and it is definitely spring is the time to do that.
Yeah. Facebook from Judy. I'm listening to Sharon discuss fall planting of shrubs. Can't resist asking a question. My cedars took a huge hit last summer, and I've had them removed. I have since fallen in love with some juniper trees at the nursery, but I can't plant them at this time. I'm wondering if I can purchase, bury the pots in my vegetable garden, and plant them next year. Otherwise, is next week going to be too late to put them in the ground?
Well, it is not too late to put them in the ground next week. As I've mentioned before, this is a good time to plant things. The problem with planting evergreens in the fall is that they have foliage on them all winter long, and that foliage loses water. Water is wicked out of the plant through that foliage, and so they can dry out pretty easily. So just be sure to water them in very well when you plant them in the fall, and then a layer of mulch. I mentioned that as part of the insulation for winter and preventing the freezing, thawing, and heaving up out of the ground. But that moisture is, I mean, that mulch is really important, too, to hold in that moisture that you supply when you water them. And, you know, while we're on the subject, this is a great time to be watering your evergreens.
Yeah.
So that they can take up a lot of moisture, get very well hydrated, because once that soil is frozen, they can't get any more water from the soil, and all of the sun and wind over the winter will pull water out of the plant. So if it's not well hydrated and doesn't have enough of a supply, they will dry out and die. So, you know, you can go ahead and plant if you can get into the ground now and keep them watered and mulch them well.
Caitlin in Dodgeville has a question. Hi, Caitlin. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick question about strawberries in raised beds and how you might protect them during the winter. They're probably about a foot to 2 feet off the ground. I'm just wondering if that's a bad idea in general or if there's a way to keep them more insulated throughout the winter.
Yeah, and I bet that's a pretty common way for people to grow strawberries, especially these days when raised beds have become so popular for a wide variety of reasons. But the problem with any soil that is above ground, whether it's in a container or in a raised bed, is because of that additional exposure to the cold, that soil will, and the small volume of soil, it will freeze solid. Whereas there's some insulation factor when it's in a ground bed. So you have to provide that extra insulation for the plants when they're in a container or a raised bed. And a great way to do that is to use bales of straw. If you put bales of straw or, you know, pile a bunch of straw on the outside of that raised bed and then also cover the bed with straw, that'll help to insulate that soil. Now, it's really important that you wait until the soil has frozen a couple of inches before you do that. If you put the mulch on now, you would delay the freezing of the soil. The plant might continue to grow. The plant won't harden off and get ready for the winter. And then all of a sudden the cold weather comes, the soil freezes, and it could damage the plant. So be sure to wait until the soil freezes, and then I would pile straw around the outside of that raised bed and put the winter mulch on top of the strawberries as well.
There you go. Thanks, Caitlin. Marilyn in La Crosse. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I have a very pretty tea rose, and I pruned it in the springtime, and I took those trimmings and put rooting hormone on them. And stuck them in the ground and watered them well, and they all survived beautifully.
Wonderful.
Will they survive the winter now?
Well, they should, especially if you did that in the spring. Tea roses, on the other hand, are not completely hardy, so you will need to provide winter protection for them, just like the plant you took those cuttings off of. And that winter protection could be in the form of rose cones, or it could be in the form of putting a cylinder of chicken wire around each plant and then stuffing it with straw. again, waiting until the soil has frozen a couple of inches deep so the plant goes dormant, and then providing that winter protection.
There you go. Thank you for calling, Marilyn. Sandy in Milwaukee. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. My husband has moved all his plants inside.
Yep.
And our Christmas cactus has just got a very yellow hue to it.
Hmm.
Well, it could be for a couple of reasons. I have one that's like that, too, so you're not alone. Don't bad.
One is beautifully, you know, starting in October through January in past years. Not a bud on it right now.
Yeah, well, it can still bud up. The cool temperatures and shorter days is what will stimulate that. But I think it's pale because of a fertilizer issue. Did he keep it fertilized throughout the summer?
Yeah, I think about every 10 days.
Wow.
Wow.
The fertilizer. That's actually excessive. It's a little more than you need to unless you're doing it at quarter strength, probably. The other thing could be that it received a lot of sun outside. If we had it in a very sunny spot, because it's a forest cactus, that is a type of, it's a tropical forest cactus, it really tolerates lower light conditions and actually prefers that. And that's
well, we have a screen porch that he keeps it in, so it's been in a lot of light and indirect sun.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, those are the two main reasons that I can think of that would cause that. I suppose if he'd had it in the container for a long time and he doesn't thoroughly leach the soluble salts through the soil ball, the soil mass, every time he waters, that it could be a buildup of soluble salts that could be causing the problem. So I guess there are three things that might cause the problem. One is insufficient fertility, not enough nitrogen in the fertilizer. Second would be if it had too much sun over the summer. And the third thing might be the soluble salts level in the soil. For the soil, you just change the soil out and transplant it at this time. Normally, it's not a great time to transplant houseplants because they're not going to be doing a lot of growing right now. But in this case, to get rid of that soil and put some fresh soil in might be helpful.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling, Sandy. Scott in Hayward. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. I've got a compost tumbler that I've been putting stuff in for like 2 years, and I just recently dumped it out, and it's all like baseball-sized clumps. And didn't seem that composted. I put soil in there. I put the Gardener's Best Super Hot Compost Starter. And so I don't know if I'm doing something wrong or those things don't work that well.
No.
I'm not sure where to start with this one. Super Hot Compost Starter stuff is unnecessary. Mm-hmm. What that is supposed to do is to contain microorganisms that enhance the decomposition process. Well, everything that you put into a compost pile has microorganisms on it already, and those are what do all the work. And there's all sorts of microorganisms in the air. And if you're putting soil in there, it also contains microorganisms. So you really don't need to add anything additional to get compost going or to keep it going. Putting soil in there may be what's causing those softball-size clumps, because I can't imagine that the organic matter you're putting in there is making those clumps. You know, that standard formula of three parts of brown to one part green is a good formula for tumbler-type composters or for any other kind of compost bin. And we usually say equal weights of green and brown. So you need more brown to green in that compost tumbler. Also, if you're tumbling it too often, you're not really allowing that decomposition process to occur. Usually, if you're doing a really good job of turning your compost, you would be turning it once every 4 weeks minimum, if not 6 or 8. And really it should be monitored with a thermometer to watch that temperature rise as the decomposition starts to happen. And then once that temperature starts to come back down, that's when it's time to turn the pile again. And if you're turning too frequently, that could prevent that process from happening, and that's really what's doing the composting. So you may have ended up with too much moisture in there, and you may have been turning too much, and then that makes very wet conditions with the soil in there. That could be what's forming those clumps.
There we go. Thank you, Scott, for calling. We've got a Facebook question from Diane. Is it too late to divide irises?
Well, it is kind of late to divide irises. You're not going to get a lot of rooting going on, and irises are one of those unusual perennials that we say to dig and divide right after they're done flowering or early to mid-August. If you divide irises right now, they probably aren't going to form very many roots, but they will be in place and they will start to root next spring. You might do well to mulch them in so that they don't freeze and thaw, succeed, as they're so close to the soil level, to the surface of the soil. And then they'll start rooting next spring, but they probably won't flower for you next spring because of the disturbance this late in the season. So if you have the choice, I would wait, maybe even do it in the spring.
Mm-hmm. That makes good sense. Sharon Morrissey, great to have her along. Sharon, UW Extension Consumer Horticulture Agent for Milwaukee County. Hadn't had her on for quite a while for some reason. I don't know how it happened, but we're really happy to have her back, and we'll have her back as a regular in our regular list of folks who come on Garden Talk. Garden Talk is one of the most popular shows we have. And speaking of popular, probably the most popular producer here at Wisconsin Public Radio is Judith Sears-Poisson, who is joining.
You're going to get me in trouble with my colleagues.
I think she won the, didn't she win that?
Miss Congeniality.
Yeah, I thought you won that. And she's here to help me help you decide how much to give here during our fall membership drive. Your gift right now, any amount, it makes a big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And last hour we heard from 43 members and new and returning members, thank you so much. And now our goal is 36 more pledges in the next 10 minutes. The pledge drive is winding down. So pledges like yours support the programs you count on, and now is the time to show that support. Thank you so much if you've already given. If not, be the next person to make the programs possible with your gift. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And I know you've been enjoying the conversation today with Sharon Morrissey. Doesn't she do a great
job? She really does.
Oh, man, she's great. UW Extension Horticulture Educator. We have so many great Extension educators around Wisconsin. They and many of them are on this show. I hope you'll take a few minutes to make this program and the many more programs we do possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, you can choose Melinda Meyer's Minnesota and Wisconsin Getting Started Garden Guide as your thank you gift for your pledge of $150 or more. That comes out to $12.50 a month. Your pledge will help support the programs like Garden Talk that you count on, and you'll enjoy this great book. So make your pledge right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Maybe you tune into Wisconsin Public Radio every day on your way to and from work and over the lunch hour, and then maybe more on the weekends.
Listening to WPR is an important part of your life. Your day would probably be different, worse, I'm guessing, if you couldn't catch your favorite programs. Your contribution helps keep WPR the strong station that you count on month after month, year after year. So please give now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Still looking for 35 more pledges.
All right. In the next 8 minutes, you might be one of those, and you might pay $100 a month for your cable service. You're willing to do that because you get entertained and informed all month long.
Well, you get many of those same things and more on this radio station. And in fact, the quality of you get on WPR is really unmatched. That quality is only possible with your support. Become a sustaining member if you can, maybe with a gift of $100 a month like that cable bill, and keep this station strong. Sign up now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I like listening to WPR because I learned so much. You never really stop learning. Being a sustainer for Wisconsin Public Radio makes my husband and I both feel like we're members of a big, wonderful family. My husband and I discussed it. He says, like the Barefoot Contessa, how easy is that? I think Wisconsin Public Radio is important because it makes you think outside the box. I tend to have a narrow vision, and listening to public radio has opened up my eyes and my ears and my mind to all that can be and all that is. I'm Pat Steers. I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I enjoy very much being a WPR sustainer, and I know you will too.
Pat, I've given, you've given, I've given. Judith's given. Well, everybody's given here except you, as you listen now. Have you given yet? If you haven't given yet, this would be the time to do it. At WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we are still looking for 34 more pledges in the next 5 minutes. This is just a goal for this half hour, the last half hour of Garden Talk. Please, if you haven't given yet, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now. Join all the other listeners who have given during this drive. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Pretty much everything you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio is the result of thoughtful preparation.
I can attest to that.
Yeah, we do. We talk about, you know, I told Judith, well, bring those rutabagas in. Bring those carrots in. Yep. Let's use them. We do our homework so that you get the highest quality radio program. So thanks a lot for your commitment to this quality, the commitment you make when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
A big thank you to our sustaining members. With ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card, you have a big effect on WPR's funding, making it more stable.
You probably find that the automatic monthly payments are easy to fit into your budget. In fact, this would be a great time to increase that gift by a few bucks a month. Just call 888-202-2552 and you can make that happen.
And you might be saying to yourself, I'll pledge next time. Well, this is it. Today is your last chance to pledge your support during Garden Talk during this membership drive.
Don't delay any longer. You know, there's only a few minutes left here. Join the community of people who come together to make public radio worthwhile, to make Garden Talk worthwhile. Pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Still looking for 33 more pledges in just the next couple minutes. We're trying to make this goal by 12:30. Help us end this pledge drive on a high note on Garden Talk. Your gift right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552, supports the programs you count on.
And I hope you'll ask for Melinda Meyer's book. It's called Minnesota and Wisconsin, Getting Started Garden Guide. You can get a copy of that book with your pledge of $150 or more. That's $12.50 a month. So pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Paul and Barbara from Maribel, Wisconsin say listening to WPR is far more entertaining and much less frustrating than surfing through 200 television channels. We're putting our money on your programming. Well, thank you so much. And that goes back to, what do you pay for things like cable TV? What do you pay for internet connections or maybe magazine subscriptions? WPR provides entertainment, information. It gives you an insight into our state, into how wonderful the natural areas are in our state, how wonderful it is to be an all-season sports person here in our state. You get all of this and more on The Larry Mueller Show. Show your support right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given before, what a wonderful time to do it. If you're listening today, you are a gardening fan, obviously, and we have actually a number of people who tune in to Wisconsin Public Radio on Fridays just for garden talk.
Yep.
I've had many people tell me that. You may be one of those people. Certainly you're someone who enjoys listening to gardening experts like Melinda Myers or Sharon Morrissey. If you're one of those people, please pledge now. Put a vote in for Garden Talk at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
I love this message from Blythe from La Crosse. She says, I've been listening to WPR since I was in college at UW La Crosse. Now that I'm in a financial position where I can afford to contribute, I'm excited to become a sustainer. Well, welcome to the family of members of WPR, Blythe. You can join Blythe with your gift of any amount, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And don't forget to ask for Melinda Myers' Minnesota and Wisconsin Getting Started Garden Guide with your a pledge of $150 or more. That's $12.50 a month. We really appreciate all of the people who have contributed.
Very much.
Very much. Thank you so much for contributing. If you haven't contributed yet, please do it right now and put a vote in for Garden Talk.
And
in
a
this
vote
program.
In for Larry. Give a vote for Larry.
888-202-2552. 888-202-2552. Or pledge now at WPR.org.